you think by the time you go through that, you might not be tempted anymore? Would it be worth it to win? Oh, what's one more smoke? You've given up alcohol. You've given up pot. You've even given up some hard drugs. What's one more smoke? It calms your nerves. It makes you feel better about yourself. Oh, come on. Ah, this is that. This is that temptation thing. Hello, Edie. Is it okay if I smoke? What do you mean if you smoke? There's this thing hanging in the air wanting me to smoke. It'll calm my nerves. Let's pray. Let's get a scripture and let's pray right now. Call Lisa. I just talked to Edie and she prayed with me with this scripture, but this thing is still telling me I need to smoke. And what's one more smoke? Look at all I've been through. Look what I did. No, let's pray. Oh, and Lisa will be shaking all over and you'll hear the phone banging and clanging and all this kind of stuff. She'll go, oh, we're going to get this. Oh, so just say this. In the name of Jesus. Oh, okay. In the name of Jesus. I'm not going to smoke. Okay. Call Julie. Julie, I called Edie and she gave a scripture about not smoking. And I talked to Lisa and she shook her and her dangled around and did some kind of prayer and screamed and yelled and stuff and told me to call you. Do you think I should smoke? One more time. Who is this? By the time you do 3 or 4 phone calls of people giving you scripture, reading the Bible, praying for you and interceding, probably get a prayer chain going, you might just not, even the devil might say, man, this ain't worth trying to get them to smoke. Especially when you send them to the pit in the name of Jesus and give them the punishment of Satan. Bible says punish their disobedience. You know, we're kidding and laughing, but how many know I'm not? How many know the way Edie got free and hasn't drank after being an alcoholic for lots and lots of years and hasn't drank one sip in the 12 years since she came to this ministry and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord is because she will make the phone call. And more than that, God will have me call her and wake her up. And I never wake her up because he knows. God has had me call people in the middle of the night, had me call you, whether you think you need it or not. He knows you needed it. How about if we all become so sensitive to God that God makes the way of escape from the temptation right while we're in it? Amen? What if we all begin to have ears to hear and decide we are not going to help anybody give in to temptation? We are going to call temptation the enemy. Husbands and wives, be on the same team. Wake up. And say, look, I need you to pray for me right now. I'm not giving into this. I am not giving into this. What if our kids trusted the voice of God enough and agreed enough and knew us enough in God to call me? And let me tell you, they really do. What if they call and start moaning and groaning about something? And in love, you listen to them, let them work it out, but you begin to give them the scriptures, you begin to give them truth, and you don't take that thing and try to use it in any way, shape, or form, except that they would do what God wants them to do. Amen? Satan is so afraid of the body of Christ truly coming together, led by the Spirit of God, and not making excuses for sin. Amen? Not making excuses for sin. Then he goes on, listen to this. He says, no temptation has taken you that has not attacked other humans, but God is faithful. Who's faithful? God is faithful. How about if we be faithful back and do what he says? God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to overcome. But with that temptation, God will make the way out so for you to be able to handle it. The way out is calling this person, going to church, listening to the praise music, putting on this, getting up and dancing before the Lord. Whatever it is not just laying there listening to the devil and doing what he wants. Amen? Then he says, on account of this, on account of what? On account of God will fix this thing, make it, if you turn to God, on account of this, my beloved. I love him. He just yelled at them just like that. And he goes, my beloved, I still love you. Quit sinning. No, but I love you. on account of this, my beloved, listen to this. On account of this, my beloved, it's your job to flee idolatry. What's idolatry? Idolatry are the idols in your life, in your thinking, in your heart that causes you not to obey God and do what he wants you to do. It says flee, run away from. What would be an example? Friends who like to party and drink. But man, they were my best buds. They really understand me. Nobody else understands me. No, they're an idol from a childhood or a time past before you were walking with God and a way you used to cope and the way you felt accepted and the way you felt like you had friends. The Bible says you can't be friends with people in the world. That's what the Bible says. Why? Because that will cause you to become like them. If you run to people who drink, if you run to people who have affairs, if you run to people who are into pornography, and you ask them to help you, they will help you to sin to make them feel better about their sin. Just like when I talked to the person on the phone or Facebook the other day and said, well, behind closed doors, you don't know all that's going on. Well, obviously, you know how to go talk to the people who behind closed doors do the same sin that you do. That's not how you flee idolatry. Why didn't you call me?